We've talked a lot of Cavs today. We'll get into some Browns, some Senior Bowl, some Josh Allen stuff coming up in 20 minutes. But right now, want to go to the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. Joining me from Cavs practice, my buddy, my partner at Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer, Joe Varden. Hey, man.
Well, some partner you are. You know, we haven't seen or heard from Isaiah Thomas in a week.
Yeah.
And so he took, you know, he took it like a man. He stood there and took every question and every perceived criticism and talked for 12 to 14 minutes. So there's all kinds of stuff to get into there. You know, Ty addressed us. Derek Rose talked and said, this is incredible. He said that he didn't play in the fourth quarter, not because he was tired, but because he went to the bathroom to, quote, hydrate, because he likes to go to the bathroom to hydrate, and Ty didn't know where he was. And so Ty was upset with him because he couldn't find him. So, I mean, there's all kinds of implications in there. And the bottom line is I'm stuck here to deal with all of this by myself because you're off being Mr. Radio host. So
I'm sorry. I had some other duties. I feel like you can handle it, though. If there's anybody that can handle it on their own, it's you.
Well done. Well done.
All right. So if we go back to this week that was, my gosh, where do we even start? I guess we start with the team meeting that they had on Monday. Isaiah addressed that. What did he have to say about that?
Well, you know, I mean, he spoke at length about it, and he said that it was, he said that he didn't call out Kevin, which is not true. He did. but that he wanted to know where Kevin had been. And it wasn't that he didn't play. It was that he wasn't there when the game was over and no one had an answer for why. And then he didn't show up to practice on Saturday and nobody had an answer for why. Although, you know, Ty seemed to know what was going on. You know, the trainer, Steve Spiro, had told Ty exactly what was wrong with Kevin. So I don't know why Isaiah didn't know. But so Isaiah said that he needed that answer. And that he said that, like, you know, on the one hand, this should have stayed in-house and it got blown out of proportion. But then he also said that, what was talked about Monday didn't solve the problems.
Oh.
The problems have been here since, he even said, it was interesting, he said that the problems have been here since November when the Cavs were winning.
Huh.
So, you know, it was pretty fascinating. I mean, he said a whole bunch more stuff. I don't want to, you know, I'll take the questions, but there's any number. It was quite a... quite an effort.
All right. Did he address the Kevin Love rebound, hand the ball to him like he was a child getting a Christmas present?
Yeah, he said that he was laughing.
Was he?
He said that he is in his Isaiah. Isaiah said that if you see the full footage, you can see him going down the court laughing. You know, what Ty said was, well, I didn't think it was a big deal, but if you watch the video and watch Ty's facial and body language when answering the question, you can make your own decision. He says that Kevin told him that happened because Isaiah and Ty and Kevin both went up for a rebound and they both jumped, and so Kevin did that as, like, you get out of my space. I don't know about that, but I mean, it certainly wasn't the sentiment last night, but it's fine. I mean, look, this team is dysfunctional right now. There's all kinds of things wrong. You know, we know what we hear. We know what we see.
Right.
If Isaiah, which he had every right to do, if he wanted to refute some of the things that have been reported that are wrong, while admitting that just things overall need to get better, then that's his prerogative, and that is what happened today.
Talking with Joe Varden, Cleveland.com, and the Plain Dealer. He joins on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. So if these problems have been going since November, according to IT, what do you think is the solution to fix the problems, Joe?
Well, you know, assuming he's correct.
Okay.
Assuming that this roster is okay and that they can defend with him and that he can score the way Kyrie scored and that the offense can run the way it did when Kyrie was here, then it's a matter of, you know, getting your timing down with Isaiah, getting your coverages down with Isaiah, players tuning back in, you know, recommitting to the cause, LeBron not turning it over so much, getting healthy and staying healthy, you know, and then getting into these series where Ty can game plan and you've got LeBron, and that has been the recipe. What we need to see is if the Cavs are even in a position for that. Just because January has been so bad, and they have been so bad over the last 15 or 16 games that it's to the point where, again, you find yourself wondering if that is possible. And of course, we were all doing that last year when the Cavs were bad in January and again in March. But this is worse. This is different. It's a different team. It's different personnel with Isaiah. And, you know, you cannot you just can't defend the way they have been. And like you said, I heard you on, you know, in the intro, they were better last night. Tristan was better. So that's a start. But, assuming the roster is okay, then that's what they have to do. But, I don't know that anybody can be sure that the personnel they have will work.
Do you think the personnel they have will work? Or do you think that this team still needs some kind of shakeup?
I mean, I certainly woke up this morning and came here with the belief that they need it, that they need a shakeup, that what they've got here isn't going to work. After listening to Isaiah talk, he had that kind of effect of, just by answering everything and having an answer for everything, and he kind of had the attitude that things are going to be okay, just you see. So, I guess like your human reflex there is to feel a little better. But I need to see it at this point to believe it.
Talking with Joe Vardin, Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. He joins on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. There were a lot of rumblings about the Cavs and the Kings and George Hill and Channing Frye. Where did those talks stand? And do you get the sense that George Hill is somebody that the Cavs are seriously interested in?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, it got to the point where at least Channing, if not both Channing and Shumpert, had been told that they were likely going to be moved. So that's pretty serious. At the same time, there was a couple things with the deal. On the one hand, the Kings would have to make another move first to clear the roster space to take these guys.
Yep.
So that's the first thing. And then the second thing was, what was it that the Cavs were actually willing to give up, and what was it that they wanted back? Did they just want George Hill? Was there another component to this? I think that the ground kind of shifted on that on Wednesday night and Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And so they're kind of in a holding pattern now. I mean, the trade deadline is 2 weeks away. And then the other issue is, George Hill's having a bad year and he's got a bad contract. He's 3 years, $57 million.
Right.
The second year of that is fully guaranteed. He had a toe injury that cost him the playoff series against the Warriors. There's lots of grumblings that he's still not healthy from that. His defensive rating is awful. And then not that you want to react to one game, but JR comes out last night and plays like JR.
Yeah.
You would rather have that JR than George Hill. He already hit, JR's already making $57 million and he's dialing up 7-3. So, is that the real JR? I don't know. I mean, he certainly hasn't showed it much over the last 2 years, but it makes you think.
If Tristan plays the way that he did last night and the Cavs feel like they can get by with their front court of LeBron, Kevin, and Tristan, do you think that takes them out of the mix for that quote-unquote rim protector that they've been talking about internally for the last couple of months?
Yeah, I do. I just their problem is not rim protection.
Okay.
Their problem is transition defense. And you've done a lot of work on this on Cleveland.com.
Yeah.
all the different defensive problems. And yes, they don't have a rim protector, but far and away the problems are they turn the ball over. They're too slow to get back on defense. They get killed on threes. You know, they're just giving up fast breaks, and they're not going to get a rim protector that also sprints down the floor and like makes up for turnovers. Like, they just can't. Like, that's not what rim protectors do.
Mm.
So I would think that by and large, their primary concerns are the backcourt. Do they buy Isaiah? I don't know. I think they do, but there's a question there. And then obviously they're working on trying to get another wing.
Yeah. So if there's still a question about Isaiah, we were having a conversation here today on the show about his value and about whether they should explore trying to trade Isaiah. Who knows what they could get back, but maybe it could be addition by subtraction. If they're having questions and it's not for sure that they're willing to buy Isaiah, do you think they would be willing to try and trade him?
Yeah, I mean, I think they would. As we say on every platform that you and I work on together, it's not, you don't trade him for nothing.
Right.
But, you know, you could take, and I don't know that they would do this, in fact, but you could take the entirety of what you got for Kyrie Irving, all of it, and go to Charlotte and offer that for Kemba Walker.
Uh-huh.
And the money would just about work. So they could do that. I don't know if they will. You know, Dan may like Isaiah. Dan may want to sign Isaiah long term. And so then there's no use even approaching that. But, Kemba is bigger. And he's a better defender, and he might play a little bit more within the flow. I mean, Isaiah said it today. He's like, look, I am who I am. I shoot and I score. And if, because it was suggested to him that there's been some eye rolling about his shot selection.
Yeah.
And he wanted to know who, and of course, you know, we're not going to tell him, but he said, well, you know, whoever's saying that, listen, I'm a shooter. I'm a scorer. And what, do they think I'm gonna come here and not try to get my rhythm and not take my shots and not try to score? Like, why did they trade for me if that's not what I'm gonna come do?
Yeah.
So he's telling you he's gonna play how he's gonna play, and it's up to Kobe and whoever else to decide if that fits here.
If the Cavs have those conversations in the talks that you've had with people around the league, what do you feel like is Isaiah's value at this point?
Well, I mean, he's got an expiring contract, so I think that's the first thing.
Okay.
And then you just, you know, the question is, how healthy is he, and is there another level that he's going to reach? You know, Isaiah is adamant that that is the case, that he will get back to the player that he was. He has shown signs of being able to score again. You know, he had a 24-point game once. You know, I think he hit 20 another time. You know, he's had a couple 19ers in there. You know, he really struggled the other night, or last night against Indiana, to the point where it's reasonable to question if Derrick Rose had not had the P, if he would have played the fourth quarter instead of Isaiah. So, so what's his value as a player? I think that remains to be seen. Obviously, if he gets back to the player he was in Boston, then he can help you win games and help you get to the playoffs for a team. But you don't know about that. What you do know is that his contract's coming off the books. So if somebody's looking to clear space, you know, that's something to consider.
I just can't wait to see what's next for this team, honestly. You got the team meeting. You've got LeBron 30,000 points. You got Kevin grabbing a rebound and handing it to Isaiah like he's a child. Isaiah, by the way, didn't go through the introduction line. I don't know if you noticed that. There's some video now going around where Isaiah got introduced and didn't move. He just stayed there until J.R. Smith then got announced after him, and Isaiah stayed there still the whole time. We've got ESPN reporters finding dogs on the side of the street. I mean, it's amazing what's going on with this team.
Yes, as usual, this regular season here in Cleveland and on this beat has turned into a total dumpster fire. It wouldn't be Cavs basketball without that.
Yeah.
But just so we can do this, The one part of Isaiah that needs to be addressed, you know, for his sake, is this warm-up thing is something he does. He's done it all year. You know, he's only played in 9 or 10 games. But in those 9 games, he has stood in that corner. That's what he does. He did the same thing in Boston. So that is not him being upset with anything.
But that
is what he does.
But why? Why doesn't he want handshakes from his teammates? Why doesn't he want to be in the huddle with his teammates? I think the optics are bad on that sort of thing.
Sure. I mean, superstars are weird.
That's true.
LeBron once forbid the entire team from doing that.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that was insane. That was one of the first things that Ty changed when he took over here in January of 2016. Is he said no more of that. Now we're going to do pregame intros again.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're psychos. I mean, it's what makes them great. You put a bunch of them together like this with LeBron and the pressure and the spotlight that he generates and demands. It just makes for, you know, it makes for situations like what we have now.
All right, buddy. Enjoy doing all that work that I should be doing and taking some off your plate. But I'm here doing radio things.
that's right. You're keeping people company as they make their Saturday commute.
That's right. See you tomorrow.
Bye, brother.
All right. There he is, Joe Vardon, Cleveland.com, the Plain Dealer on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline.